Welcome to Conversations at Keston Law. Hi, my name is Joan Keston. I'm the founding attorney at J.A. Keston Law, PLLC. Our firm focuses on the practice of elder law, estate planning, and asset protection. I have here with me today Cindy Clark, who is my office manager, Brandy Cox, who is my paralegal, and Sissy Weisbrook, who is my director of marketing. We started this podcast after we had held some discussions, informal discussions, at senior centers in the area, and felt that there was a lot of valuable conversation and questions and misconceptions. So we started this podcast to address some of the issues that we all face. We may be relaying and getting information from clients, from our friends, from our neighbors, but we're trying to bring to the table things that we hope you're aware of. This is not meant to be a formal lecture. We do have more resources on our website, which is www.kestonlaw.com, and there you have some videos and some more formal type of information. So without further comment, we'll start this podcast today.
Well, while I was on vacation with my siblings, I have 8 brothers and sisters and 2 aging parents, the topic of Medicaid and Medicare came up. My mom has dementia, and my dad's 87, you know, fairly healthy, but this is the time to start talking about it. And I couldn't really explain to them the differences. And they also think Medicaid is for super poor people. And you know, my parents aren't wealthy, but they've got money. So I didn't really know how to answer it.
Well, this is something we hear about often, that there's a lot of confusion and a lot of unawareness, let's say, about Medicaid for middle-class folks. Medicare, as everyone knows, is most people know anyway, that it does come into play when you're 65 normally, but it doesn't take care of chronic long-term care. And that's where the a lot of the lack of information comes from. Medicaid, which is what a lot of folks think of as welfare, doesn't just have a program for that kind of low income. There is a Medicaid program for middle-class folks who need nursing home care.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's funny is that since Medicare will pay for part of a rehab stay, I think people think, I know in my family they said, well, you know, Medicare will pick up for mom if she has to stay, you know, stay there for life. Because my uncle said to me recently, he goes, you know, how's your mom doing on money? And I said, she's going to run out soon, but we're in the process of paying for, applying for Medicaid. And he goes, Medicaid? Same thing.
Right.
Same thing. He didn't have a clue that there's middle-class Medicaid. He thought, well, Medicare's not going to pay for this, and you're going to have to kick her out. So I thought that was interesting, trying to explain to him. And I don't think he still got it. So what do you? So how do I explain that to him, saying, you know, my uncle's not young, and he's probably in his... probably in his 70s, you know, can you do something? Can he do something for himself if he gets in that situation at this late stage?
And that's part of it is information to begin with, and part of it is going to an attorney that does the kind of planning for government benefits if and when that might happen. And it's being proactive. I mean, no one's going to come to you from the government and say, here, this is available. You've got to be informed like everything else in life and deal with this subject, even though most people avoid discussing or dealing with this subject. And the more you plan ahead, the more you can do.
Right. Yeah, because he...
And every state, again, is different. If he lives in a different state...
He lives in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because I told him, I said, you know, there's laws for North Carolina. And I said, since mom's living here in North Carolina now... I said, we have to go by the laws of North Carolina. So he goes, well, I don't know if Pennsylvania has this. And I said, well, my recommendation would be go see an attorney. Go see the experts.
And it is a combination federal and state program. So because it's federal law, I think every state has it. It's just how they implement it could be very different and vary between states.
So is the income cap different by state, too? Most likely,
the way they
federal?
Might calculate income could be different.
Okay.
Or the way different implementation of what that threshold might be and how you can reach it could be different.
Because my brother-in-law's father was in Ohio. He's now passed, but they never applied for it because they didn't think they could get it. And he didn't know what the laws were in Ohio, but he just automatically assumed he couldn't get it because he made, probably like my parents,
and most
a
people,
medium income.
Most people feel that way, I think. Or they're into this, I have to spend all my money down to get to the asset level, which is $2,000, anything under, of countable assets. So they think they have to spend down. And that's where, again, is another lack of information. If you go to someone who knows, or if you know yourself how to plan, you can preserve a lot of your assets to supplement your care. And that's the goal there, is to supplement your care.
So selling your house or giving your house to a relative or me, parents giving it to me, is not a good idea.
No, because of a lot of, and again, that gets into a lot of details of tax issues and the timing. There are ways to do things that maybe giving it to you wouldn't be the best thing. Sorry, Cindy.
Yeah, best thing for your taxes either.
Right, exactly. True.
Yeah, but you know, one thing I didn't know, Joan, until we started this process with Medicaid for my mom, is that I didn't know that she might be able to get that because she'll still be getting some money from my dad's retirement and Social Security, but it's not enough for her to live in the nursing home, and she needs full-skilled nursing home care. So that was interesting because I thought when you hear $2,000 is the limit, and she's going to be making $3,300, but then I didn't realize until you told me, no, they'll use all of that towards her care, and Medicaid would supplement it.
All right, well, you're confusing income with asset here. The $2,000 is an asset threshold. Assets are what your bank account has, your house, your cars, your insurance. Those are assets. That's one calculation. Income is a different calculation, which is basically dividends, salary, wages, income. Normally, that all would go to the nursing home, and then the Medicaid picks up the difference. Now, if you get a lot of income and you don't spend it all, when it sits in your account, it becomes an asset. But the whole actual income is what's used as a separate calculation to determine if or not you qualify for Medicaid.
God, do I feel stupid. I mean, as simple as that, I kept thinking, okay, income is asset.
No.
Okay.
It seems simple, but a lot of people, when they're faced with this kind of planning or this need for care, they get overwhelmed. And a lot of times when you're overwhelmed, you can't think through the small things like that. And the biggest part, I think, to understand with the income qualification in Medicaid is that generally your income has to be less than your cost of care. So thinking about how much it costs to keep someone in a skilled nursing facility versus even that $3,000 you said your mom makes every month in Social Security and pension payments.
Right.
There is going to be that difference, that part that is not feasible for her to cover. Otherwise, she will run out of resources.
Right.
So again, that difference between assets and income is very important to understand.
Getting back to the Medicare topic, I always tell people this to be very aware that, again, Medicare pays for your stay in a nursing home or a rehab facility, because when we age, a lot, the scenario oftentimes is you're in the hospital and before you go home, you go to rehab for a number of days. And then Medicare will pay 20 days of your rehab, and there's a copay between day 21 and 100. And then after 100 days, Medicare is over. So that's when, if you're still needing to be in rehab, is when you're facing Medicare's over, what do I do? And that's when normally at that time Medicaid would kick in, or you're going to self-pay, or you have other supplemental insurance, or you have long-term care insurance. But the key also, if you're in the hospital, make sure you're admitted to the hospital for three. If you are admitted for 3 days and you go to rehab, their Medicare will pick up that 100-day with the copay after 20 days. If you're in a hospital and you're not admitted, you're just under observation and you go into a nursing home, Medicare will not even pick up the 20 days, 100 days to begin with.
Yeah, and I have heard people who have had that incidence that their parent was put in under observation. They had no clue.
Yeah.
No clue until they get to the nursing home, the rehab center, and the rehab center says Medicare's not picking this up. And then a fight ensues. What do you mean Medicare's not picking it up? And then that idea of the first 20 days paying for it, and then the copay, and then after 100 days. There's so much confusion because, like you said, Medicare, the government's not going to point out to us what we can get. You know, you got to research it. And I think that elderly people, I know my mom and her siblings that are still alive, they have this misconception that they're going to have this booklet sent to them and say, "Dear Uncle Fred, this is what you can qualify for, and this is how you do it."
Yeah. So I guess what we're really trying to drive home here is to be informed and be proactive, and don't be afraid to talk about these things. It's a painful subject, but I think it's critical not only for your own well-being, but your family and the stress involved, to be as planned for and proactive and understanding and doing things as possible.
Thanks for listening. I welcome you to visit our website, www.kestinlaw.com. On that website, you will find our schedule for seminars. We do seminars almost on a monthly basis in two locations where we formally address a lot of the topics we mentioned in this podcast. You also can follow the directions with this podcast. If you have any topics you'd like us to address in a podcast, feel free to write those and send those to us. And if you have any other questions and would like to have any kind of consultation, again, you can either contact us on the website, and our phone number is 910-509-7121. Once again, thanks for listening.